escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. We're thrilled to have you with us this evening. Absolutely ecstatic to be behind the microphone tonight. After which I'll be going and recording tomorrow's Carry On Commentary. Which people have asked, by the way, why I call it the Carry On Commentary. Well, what's the theme song? I'm continuing the trend. It's the Carry On the Fight, so hence the Carry On Commentary. Pleased to have you with us tonight. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com and on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show. And, of course, on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. Would love to hear from you. We have a great show planned for you tonight. Ruthie Bloom, a former advisor at the office of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, will be with us to kick off the 8 o'clock hour. We will discuss the 56 people who were arrested, including three journalists, at a pro-Hamas protest outside the Israeli consulate. She'll be calling us from Tel Aviv, so really appreciate the opportunity to talk with her. Curtis Houck, my old buddy Curtis Houck from MRC Newsbusters, will walk us through a new poll that found that more than 70% of registered Democrats and independents who voted for Joe Biden in 2020 are mostly in the dark about many of the radical positions Kamala Harris has taken on key issues. Political analyst, columnist, and author Jeff Coor will be with us to recap the DNC. And Wichita City Councilman Dalton Glasscock will be with us to explain the more than $3 million in cuts that he was able to get passed in an effort to limit government this week. And Tony Lyons, the co-founder of American Values 2024, which is the RFK Jr. Super PAC, will be with us to discuss RFK Jr.'s decision to drop out of the race and endorse President Trump. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls. Typically, we do that on the 45s, but if you want to call in, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Don't forget the carry-on commentaries that run daily, hosted by me three times a day, Monday through Friday. Listen in for those. And again, we want to welcome our new show sponsor, Eck Insurance, which is sending me to Topeka once a month starting in January. So make sure you listen in for that. We got a great show planned for you, but I have to address a little bit of something that happened this week. There's a famous quote, often falsely, by the way, attributed to Albert Einstein, that defines insanity as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Many people think that's an Einstein quote. It actually isn't. But the logic of it is still true. And if insanity reigns again at Wichita City Hall and with the Sedgwick County Commission, because both entities this week passed their budgets and both entities this week increased spending over the previous years, and both entities this week will be raising your property taxes. And to their credit, a few fiscal conservatives within both bodies tried to stop the insanity this week, tried to, you know, hemorrhage the bleeding. But once again, your property taxes will be going up next year because the city and the county will be spending more money. And that's the bottom line. Now, they may tell you the mill levies are going up or the mill levies were trimmed a little bit. But the bottom line is you will be paying more in taxes because they're exceeding the revenue neutral rate. Your property was appraised at a higher value, and rather than lowering the rate to compensate for that. They're capturing that revenue, which means you're going to pay more. At the city of Wichita, the council approved a list of cuts put forward by council member Dalton Glasscock to save an additional $2.9 million that is designed to accelerate a plan to trim down the budget for 2026 and 28. And I appreciate the efforts of Councilman Glasscock and Mayor Wu, but nevertheless, the city still adopted a $761 million budget for 2025, which is a nearly 27% increase from pre-pandemic levels, with one dissenting vote from Mayor Lily Wu. I imagine Dalton voted for it because they were his cuts, and he felt like, since you took my cuts, I have to vote for your budget. But I imagine he had to do that while holding his nose. The city's total budget has grown by $161 million from pre-pandemic levels. Folks, do you feel like you're getting $161 million more in value out of the city of Wichita than you did from 2020? Property tax collections have increased by 41%, all so they can spend more money. At the county, county commissioners took a similar approach this week as they approved a $563 million budget for next year, a 6% increase in spending over the current budget. Now, commissioners will say they lowered the mill levy by about one-third of a mill. And kudos to them for doing that. And they will say that this is the lowest mill levy in X number of years, and they're going to tout that out, much like, you know, schools love to tout graduation rates, even though the kids aren't college and career ready. Folks, do you know the white speck on bird poop? It's still bird poop. To give you context, they lowered the mill levy by about one-third of a mill. That's $4.14 a year on a $100,000 home that doesn't even buy you a Happy Meal or a Starbucks coffee. It's the white speck on bird poop. Total spending is still up 6%, including a 3% pay raise for county commissioners who are making over $100,000 a year already. 3% pay raise for county commissioners making $100,000 a year, paid for by your property taxes. To his credit, Jim Howell tried to cut spending from the budget. He ran a total of 15 amendments to reduce spending, and only two passed, and one of those was trimmed in half. The ones that failed didn't even get a second, weren't even discussed. So what does all this mean? It means your property taxes will be going up next year. You will be paying more in city and county property taxes next year because both entities can't or won't control their spending. Mayor Lily Wu, Commissioner Jim Howell, and Councilman Dalton Glasscock have shown more guts than we've seen in local politics in years. They are championing fiscal responsibility, prioritizing spending, protecting your tax dollars, and attempting to rein in local government. This is principled leadership. And frankly, it's refreshing. And kudos to Mayor Wu and Jim Howell and Councilman Glasscock for, you know, tilting at the windmills. They're Don Quixote, folks. And yet they're being attacked for it. Imagine being attacked on social media and by the liberal Wichita Eagle for attempting to prioritize government spending. Being attacked because they're not trying to raise your taxes. Ryan Beatty this week was attacked because he dared to suggest that it was time that we looked at efficiencies in government. He dared to point out that maybe we should prioritize spending, so the Eagle attacked Ryan Beatty. Wu and Glasscock are similarly being attacked, and yet are quickly becoming the most conservative members of our city council. And I, for one, am glad to have them fighting for us. At the city, they're spending $1.2 million on art for the new water treatment plant. Is that fiscally responsible? Is that prioritizing our spending? Is that worth raising your property taxes? Jim Howell at the county continues to be the fiscally conservative champion on the county commission. Ryan Beatty's there buttressing him, helping him. But the two of them can't do it alone. I sure hope we get them some help in November. It seems like every year our property taxes are going up, and with it our frustration, and with that the spending at the city and county level. And let's be honest, it's not just a minor inconvenience, it's a major burden that impacts our ability to save, invest, and plan for the future. Instead of prioritizing essential services and focusing on core functions, they indulge in spending sprees that are more about bureaucracy and less about actual benefits to the people. We need the city and county to be principled in their leadership and champion fiscal responsibility. We need local government officials that understand the importance of cutting property taxes instead of continually raising them, and leaders who are focused on what really matters. Meanwhile, a small but loud minority, and particularly the media, may not like what these three are trying to do. They're fighting for limited government, but it's always the right thing to do. And I, for one, say carry on the fight, you three. We'll take a quick break, and then political analyst, columnist, and author Jeff Coor will be with us to recap this week's Democrat National Convention. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. If you want to get involved, if you really want to make a difference, every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country. Folks join together and phone into key federal races across the U.S. Each week, it gives you an opportunity to join thousands of dedicated community activists. Being the most impactful army in America, you can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central. To phone for freedom, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today to get, and while you're at it, make sure you visit the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages and like me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, this last week, Chicago's hottest club was the Democratic National Convention. And if you happen to tune in, by the way, I'm sorry. It was really painful to watch. But if you happen to tune in, that's what it was. It was a party. There was no policy. It was just a party where Gen Z TikTokers, mobile abortion clinics, and social media influencers gathered to support cackling Kamala Harris. We heard a lot of blame being thrown at Republicans and former President Donald Trump, but what we didn't hear during the four-day event was any concrete policy positions or any way to pay for the few that we did hear about. With us now to recap this week's Democratic National Convention is political analyst, columnist, and author Jeff Cruer. Jeff, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show again, my friend.
Hey, thanks, John. Great to be with you.
So, Jeff, during her speech on Thursday night, the big finish, Vice President Kamala Harris repeated a theme of her campaign, which is that Democrats are the party of freedom and opportunity. Other than maybe opportunities for illegals, and freedom to get a vaccine and wear a mask when you're mandated, they have a strange definition of freedom and opportunity.
Well, and John, also freedom to get a vasectomy and an abortion.
Yes, thank you.
Convention.
Yeah. Taxpayer funded, no
that's
doubt.
Really, right. Really, the freedom they're talking about. But as far as, you know, the freedom to be safe, the freedom to prosper,
to carry a gun or own one.
Right. The freedom to enjoy the American dream. She's not very good on all of those things. I mean, the quality of life has deteriorated significantly since she became vice president. And, you know, you've got to blame her for everything that's happened in the past 3.5 years because, you know, Biden has been mentally incompetent. So you would assume that Kamala Harris is really in charge. So she owns all of it, John, all of it. Bidenomics, everything.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because if you watched her and some of the other remarks, which I thought was, I mean, the whole, there was hypocrisy all throughout this thing. And in one speech, you have Bernie Sanders step up and rail against billionaires. And the very next speaker was a Democrat billionaire. And so, you know, you had hypocrisy throughout this whole thing. But Kamala Harris comes out there and she talks about all the things that she's going to do on day one. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, what the heck have you been doing over the last 3.5 years?
Well, she hasn't been doing her job as border czar, has she?
Right, yeah.
She's certainly fallen down on the job there. And, you know, she was the one that Biden sent to try to talk Putin out of invading Ukraine. That didn't work out too well. She was the last one in the room as they were talking about the withdrawal from Afghanistan. That didn't work out too well. So there's nothing she can point to that she succeeded in. And I would go back, John, all the way to her career, you know, as a DA, as an attorney general, as a senator, you know, just failure galore. I mean, again, the Democrat way is to fail up. So she's failed and then moved up the ladder.
Yeah,
sort of like Biden.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you like the way things are going in California, then you know vote for Kamala Harris. We're talking with political analyst, columnist, and author Jeff Cruere. Another feature of the convention were these rhinos, the anti-Trump Republicans, like former Representative Adam Kinzinger, who attempted to offer tips on approaching swing voters and disaffected Republicans. Do you think, Jeff, that rhinos like Kinzinger really carry any weight with GOP voters? I mean, every time Liz Cheney opens her mouth, I want to smack her upside the head. I mean, I don't know any Republicans who think she's got any credibility. Same with Mitt Romney. Do you think Republicans are even listening to people like Kinzinger anymore?
No, thankfully they're not. I mean, the rhino contingent has sort of disappeared, and thankfully so. I mean, they've been terrible. I mean, they've been bad for the party, bad for the country. They're Democrat light. They've been the ones who have really hated Trump the most, these
right.
rhinos. And, I mean, I'm hoping the legacy of Trump is going to be to continue the MAGA wing of the Republican Party in control, because we can't go back to the Romney wing or the McCain wing or the Bush wing where, you know, it's just neoconism and the same thing. It's just Democrat light. So I think that's one of the great services that President Trump has provided, to take the party away from those type of people.
I mean, I'm all for trying to be big tent and reach across the aisle to moderates. But there's a big difference between a moderate Republican who maybe believes in exceptions for, you know, rape, incest, life of the mother or something like
right.
that. And some of these people who are just they're the orange man bad crowd who look at Donald
yeah.
and are just, they need to take Trump and all. You know what I mean? I mean, they're so
yeah.
obsessed with their Trump derangement syndrome that they're crazy. And then I guess they think somehow that when Donald Trump is no longer a figure in the Republican Party, that all of a sudden we're going to embrace them again. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, you know, you look at the people on MSNBC, you look at these so-called Republicans, you know, Michael Steele, Nicole Wallace, then you go to, you know, The View, Anna Navarro, Farrah, Alicia, Fair, whatever her name is, Griffin.
Right.
I mean, all these are supposed Republicans, and they hate. I mean, there's no common ground. They just hate Donald Trump. And they were all for Biden. Now they're all for Harris, even though Harris is the most left wing Democrat nominee in the history of our country. They don't care. They're just motivated by hatred of Donald Trump. So I think we can have common ground with some of Kennedy's supporters. I think we can have common ground with some people like that are truly independent in the middle, much more so than the rhinos.
No, I think you're right. And the bottom line, Jeff, they tried to make their convention about joy and hope. But it sure seemed to me like it was orange man bad. It was divisiveness. It was blaming MAGA, which I think is amazing because it's Make America Great Again. You would think that would be a unifying principle regardless of your party.
Right.
You'd think everybody would want to make America great. But I mean, it was angry. Their convention was just flat out angry. And yet, if you watch the media, they're sycophantically falling all over themselves to praise what a great convention it was.
You know, they're invested in Kamala Harris, just sort of like they were invested in Barack Obama.
Right.
And they want to make her into be like some kind of historic figure, some great figure. And the thing is that there's no substance there. I mean, she's got nothing. I mean, she's got no positions, nothing on the website, no interviews, no news conferences. And the media is so corrupt that they're covering for her. And they're just going after Trump and Vance. You know, I saw the Media Research Center study that showed that the media coverage of Kamala Harris was 84% positive, and for Donald Trump, it was 89% negative. I mean, that's obscene. That's the kind of corrupt media that we have today.
I'm glad you mentioned that one last bit, and I know I've got to let you run. I'm coming up on my bottom of the hour break, but I'm looking right now, and by the way, folks, don't go do this, because then you have to get their emails and things, but I'm looking at the Harris Waltz website. And yeah, you're right. Sure enough, looking at their website, here it is another week later, and there's still not a single policy position on the website. There's no get to know. There's no, you know, there's of course, lots of ways you
escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You can donate, but no issues. No concrete evidence. Nothing to be useful. Jeff, I appreciate you, brother. If folks want to get in touch with you, they can find you on X at Jeff Cruer. That's C-R-O-U-E-R-E. And online, it's ringsidepolitics.com, correct?
You got it. And crewair.net. And that's another resource they can take advantage of that gives them all kind of good info.
Perfect, brother. I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for joining us this evening. It's always nice having you on the show.
My pleasure. Take care.
We'll take a quick break, and when we return, Wichita City Councilman Dalton Glasscock will join us to explain the more than $3 million in cuts to the city's 2025 operating budget passed this week in an effort to limit government and lower property taxes for Wichitans. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Hopefully you already listened to KNSS on your way to work, but if you don't listen before you head out, why aren't you? And let's make it easy. Just download the free Audacy app. Simply download Audacy. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Search for KNSS, get all your news, weather, and traffic updates whenever you need them. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and Truth Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, earlier this week, the Wichita City Council approved their $761 million budget for 2025, a nearly 27% increase from pre-pandemic levels, with one dissenting vote from Mayor Lily Wu. The council approved a list of cuts put forward by Councilmember Dalton Glasscock to save an additional $2.9 million, which is designed to accelerate a plan to trim down the budget for 2026 through 2028, when the city is facing budget deficits. With us now to discuss the budget and the cuts he was able to pass is Wichita City Councilman Dalton Glasscock. Dalton, thank you for joining us, brother. I appreciate you joining us as always.
Hey, John. Always glad to be here on your show.
So, first off, let me thank you. There aren't enough fiscal conservatives out there doing the bidding, and it's one of the things that you ran on, and now you're delivering on the promises of your campaign, and I appreciate that. So, all too often, candidates will run one way and vote the other, and you put up and shut up, and you're doing what you said you would do. So, I appreciate that. I also appreciate Frank. Go ahead.
We just have to quit growing the size of government. I think we've seen that locally, like we've seen on any other level of government. So, I'm appreciative of the comments, and it takes a lot of us to be able to start shrinking the size of government we see.
Well, and this is the first time in years that I can remember that the city of Wichita has actually cut spending, isn't it? Hasn't it been quite a while?
I mean, to my knowledge, yeah, we were able to make, I think it was $3,050,000 of cuts. And these won't hurt service levels. I mean, these cuts are talking about efficiencies of government. How do we recoup more user fees? How do we try to reduce the burden long term in terms of property taxes on individuals? When I talk to people, they are most concerned with property tax and homelessness in our community. And so we have to figure out a way to make sure that government is not growing faster than the rate of inflation in this country, and that government's living within its means, just like all your listeners do every single day.
Yeah, and that's really what, and as I've talked to people about this issue, cutting spending, and you know, when you, I equate it to your family budget. If your income is cut or inflation has gone up and you're having a hard time paying your bills, sometimes you have to decide, gee, do we need to trim the Netflix, cut that for a few months, get rid of, you know, Paramount Plus or whatever for a few months while we get through the hard times. And frankly, that's what the city needs to do. That's what the county needs to do. And again, I'm glad you pointed out none of the cuts that you guys put forward or even have considered are core services like police, fire, infrastructure, EMS, any of that stuff. But, you know, I look at some of these proposals, you know, $100,000 to both Century 2 and the ICE Center. Yes, I'm sure there are supporters of both those places, but they can absorb those cuts. And again, when you're facing a deficit or having to raise property taxes, I think people are willing to say, okay, $100,000 cut to Century 2, let's do that as opposed to raising property taxes yet again.
Well, you'll hear loud voices in the community saying, why were they making, you know, any efficiencies or cuts? We're not facing a deficit until 26, 27, 28. I think it's good governance that are facing a deficit in 26, 27, 28. How do we mitigate some of that, those challenges and the brunt of the challenges faced those years this year? And also making, if we make efficiencies this year, it's going to be a cost savings subsequently every year after that. And so that's why I wanted to make sure. And I'm thankful for my colleagues. Out of the $3 million of cuts, $800,000 was passed unanimously. Aside from that, it was either a 6-1 vote or a 4-3. Most of them were 4-3 votes. But it was because we at least had a will of the council for cut $800,000 unanimously, and then about another, you know, couple million just with a slim majority.
And that's, again, you know, we've said it before, elections have consequences. Here's a perfect example. If we didn't have Republican majority on the council, none of this would have happened. I guarantee you, Brandon Whipple would not have approved any cuts to the budget. Well, we wouldn't have. He didn't do it in his 4 years. He wouldn't do it now. And that's the benefit of having a more conservative city council. You finally get cuts. We're talking with Wichita City Councilman Dalton Glasscock. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you weren't able to cut. I know, you know, one of the things, and this has been, I know it's a petty thing, and you know, I love you. You know how much Becky Tuttle and I, we rear each other. We call each other trouble. But we had a little sparring match earlier this week because I called her and I asked her to consider a cut to arts funding. And it's, again, it's one of those things that, hey, when you're in a surplus, when you have plenty of extra funding, then that's fine. You can do arts funding. But right now, we're struggling. You're facing a budget deficit, an ongoing budget deficit. And maybe right now you should trim that arts funding. I think it's $2 million a year. Maybe you trim it to $1 million a year or something like that. And she was adamantly opposed. And I pointed out that there's something like $1 million or $1.2 million for the new water treatment plant. It's just like, you know, right now, Becky, when we're struggling, why aren't we even willing to consider trimming some of these arts projects? I'm curious, why didn't that come up at all for discussion?
Well, I think you know better than most people that you have to have the votes to be able to have a conversation and bring something to the table.
Yep.
And if you don't have the votes, then let's figure out, you know, what you do have the votes on and what makes sense to be able to cut and streamline and make efficient. And that's, you know, the work that, you know, talking to my colleagues and trying to build rapport and have conversations and make sure you get support for these things. I only want to bring things that are going to be able to, you know, garner support from the council, from the bench, and actually do good governance instead of just grandstanding from the bench. And that's what was so critical for me about this budget conversation, as I knew that we did not have the votes not to exceed or not to capture the full revenue neutral. And
right.
So if we don't have the votes to do that, how can we do good governance and how can we still move the needle in the right direction, making sure that we don't hit essential services and making sure we don't hit any service levels? But you have to have the votes to get something done. And at the city council, it takes four votes.
Well, for the record, I appreciate the fact that you and Lily both were willing to consider not exceeding revenue neutral. That was, you know, something that both of you ran on. For the record, so did J.V. Johnston, and so did Becky Tuttle. They seem to have forgotten that because they did not really stand up for that. I do appreciate that the two of you, that you and Lily, were willing to consider that. Obviously, you didn't have the support, and so it didn't really come up. Walk us through, it's going to be better than it could have been after the cuts that you made, but, you know, relatively speaking, yes, the mill levy stays the same, but, you know, in the pocketbook, property taxes are effectively still going up because people will be paying more, correct?
Yeah, you had about an 8% higher capture rate this year. I think it was 8.1% in property tax appraisals. And now, you know, part of that increase of evaluation also comes from new property acquisition, new development.
Right.
In addition to that, it doesn't take an account of inflation, and government is affected by inflation just like any other private industry. And so when we're talking about revenue neutral, I think we should have those conversations too of is there revenue neutral with the rate of inflation in the future? You know, we also have obligations the previous council made by hiring 42 firefighters to the grant funded position they knew was going to expire.
Yeah.
And so
which is
those
asinine.
Are included in the budget. And, you know, in addition to that, we've, you know, seen a 13% increase in pay for for police officers, which is very needed. Fire had a pay increase, and also all of our other union workers saw about 8% pay increase this upcoming year as well in the 2025 budget. And so we still do have a cost for governance, and let's just make sure we're governing efficiently and effectively, and let's make sure we're finding cuts when we can and finding effective ways to be able to capture revenue that's not just property tax revenue to make sure we fund essential functions of government.
This conversation has been about the 2025 budget. I know the city's bracing for a revenue shortfall starting in 2026 based on projected growth in spending and estimated decreases in interest earnings and some other revenue streams. What's your vision for that? I mean, I know that's 2 years out, but I know it's something you guys have to be starting to think about now and preparing for now. What are your thoughts on that?
For me, you know, when we're looking at, you know, maintenance of properties, we need to make sure that we're not deferring maintenance. Excuse me. And so I have really no interest in, you know, new properties, new acquisitions, new developments that's funded by the city obligation when we already have existing infrastructure we need to maintain. And for me, it's prioritizing the existing infrastructure. You know, what we talked about in part of the budget as well was the Dirt Streets program.
Right.
Where we reorganized that, where it's going towards, instead of building up streets for individuals, except for around schools, it's actually go be reinvested in our street maintenance program, which I think is a good thing. And we're maintaining our current infrastructure because a lot of people that, you know, live on streets, they paid the assessment to be able to live on paved streets. And so how about we take care of what we currently have in infrastructure instead of adding more? So I think those are the challenges we're facing 6, 7, 8 in terms of how much we're debt servicing, how much we have in new property acquisitions. Those are the conversations we have to move forward with.
Brother, I appreciate you, trying and doing what you can. This is a success. I consider this, yeah, it may not have been as much as we could have hoped for. It certainly isn't as much as I think we could have done, but it's progress. And Reagan was a fan of incrementalism. You get what you can get, and then you come back and you try again for the rest on another date. And I appreciate the work that you have done. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to follow what you're doing and the efforts that you're taking to be fiscally responsible, what's the best way for them to connect with you, Dalton?
Well, first off, it takes, you know, I have a 4-year commitment to making sure we find efficiencies in government, and I need 4 votes to be able to do it. And if
yes.
they want to connect with me, they can visit daltonglasscock.com. My cell phone's there. Feel free to reach out. You can also email me at dglasscock@wichita.gov.
You are right. You need 4 votes to do that. It does seem like Mayor Wu is voting with you, but that means you still need 2 other votes. And that means folks need to put pressure on the other Republicans and the Democrats, for that matter. Mike Hoheisel is in a very winnable seat for Republicans, and it's high time that we started holding him accountable for some of these votes.
Well, I'm glad, you know, out of the, again, 800,000 of the cuts was unanimous, and so we were able to get colleagues on all sides of the aisle to be able to agree to do 800,000. We just need to be looking at more, and how do we do government more efficiently?
Yep, you're right, brother. I appreciate you, as always. Carry on the fight, my friend.
We will talk very soon. Take care, John. Bye.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Our studio lines are open. What do you think? Did the city and county do enough? Should they have cut more? Should we be looking at cuts to things like the zoo, Exploration Place? Should we be cutting city arts and you know, that kind of stuff? Or are you all right with your property taxes going up? You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I want to hear from you. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. This segment of the John Whitmer Show sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. How would you like to get involved with the largest grassroots movement in America? Well, you can. You visit AmericansForProsperity.org and get involved. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And when you need to stay informed, with the free Odyssey app, you can get the best breaking local news coverage from KNSS on the go. Just download Odyssey and search KNSS to get started. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Would love to hear from you. Do you think City of Wichita, Sedgwick County are taxing us too much? Should they cut more? You know, it's up to you. You know, what do you... What, you know, I don't know. It's your call. Let's see what Wink Hartman has to say. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
This is an opinion from a former judge, Keith M. Alber. I am a student of law whose age is 85. My first year of college was 68 years ago. One class I took was political science. A half page of my textbook essentially outlined a few steps to overturn a democracy. One, divide the nation philosophically. Two, foment racial strife. Three, cause distrust of police authority. Four, swarm the nation's borders indiscriminately and unconstitutionally. Five, engender the military strength to weaken it. Six, overburden citizens with more unfair taxes. Seven, encourage civil rioting and discourage accountability for all crime. Eight, control all balloting. Nine, control all media. What was printed in 1954 as a possible diabolic nightmare has become an emerging reality. I hope that Americans will unite enough to pin a good finish.
You know, amazingly, he nailed that. I mean, literally, that is exactly what the Black Lives Matter, what the Antifa movements, what these Hamas, pro-Palestinian movements are doing, and frankly, what many in the Democrat National Party are trying to do to America right now. It's scary. Chuck, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Tonight, about this tax problem.
Yeah.
We don't need art. But we got more serious things than doing that. Our taxes go up every year. Last 10 years, my taxes have went up every year, and I fight it. And it don't do no good a lot of times. You know, it's like a joke. And first off, the guys that do the tax deal, they get a certain amount of money to go out and say, okay, this guy goes up. They get money for doing it, the appraisers. It's not even our people in Wichita that do it.
Yeah,
that's
it's
the sad part.
The thing that frustrates me, and you can, it, much like beauty is in the eye of the beholder, art and the value of art is subjective. And I could make a case, I suppose, for how it benefits, and sure it does. I'll give you that. Let's just say that art is valuable and having art in a community is valuable. All that being said, you have to prioritize when you're facing a budget shortfall. And my point to when I had the conversation with Councilmember Becky Tuttle and with a few of the other council members was right now we're in a budget crisis. You're facing a deficit this next year. You're facing a bigger deficit the following year. And rather than raise people's property taxes, putting people like you on a pinch, putting folks on fixed incomes, retirees out of their homes, how about you cut the arts budget? And the response that I got was, well, we're obligated. Well, you know what? You obligated yourselves. You can unobligate yourselves. You can say, look, financial times are hard. I'm sorry. We don't have the money. If you are facing a credit card payment, you can't make it. You reach out to the credit card company and you make another arrangement. That's what they need to do.
Right. Exactly. And here's the other part. I'm retired. Been retired for 5 years. Every year, it costs me more money to live. My retirement is disappearing. Social Security is not enough, really, for any retiree to retire on. If you don't have a 401k or you don't have some kind of investment somewhere, which I don't have, then every year it gets shorter and shorter, so I have to do less and less and less. And what this tax deal does to a lot of people, and being dead honest, I'm not lying, their taxes keep going up so much, they say, well, sell your house, reverse your mortgage. There's a lot of people who do sell their houses because of that, and they have to get a smaller house. Pretty soon, there's nothing to sell for some of these older people.
Exactly. I mean, it's exactly. Ridiculous. And no, you're absolutely right, Chuck. And the sad part is, and I appreciate the call, the sad part is you shouldn't have to do that. I've always been a fan of getting to a point where we no longer tax Social Security. I'm glad to see the state has done that now, because you're taxing retirees. And when our property taxes are taxing people out of their homes, especially in a situation where you're doing it in order to cover new spending, growth in spending, and excessive spending, it's obscene. And when you've got, it'd be different if we were talking about, hey, we have to have this in order to keep police and fire and EMS. But we don't. There are areas that in both the city and the county that we could cut. The county could cut some funding to the zoo. The county could cut some funding to Exploration Place. The city could cut some arts funding, for example. And it wouldn't hit the core services. And that's what has to happen. And I know there may be a contingent of Wichitans that don't want to see that. And you know what? None of us do. But right now, I'd rather see that than see people lose their homes. So Chuck, I appreciate the call. Stick around, because after the break, we're going to talk to Ruthie Bloom live from Tel Aviv. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.